In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Just yesterday, we gathered here for the funeral of Baba Catherine Lipowak, her send-off to the kingdom. It was so good to see so many of you here coming to pray for her, to remember her, to show your respect and your love to her and to the family. And it was something of a celebration, if you will, even of our parish, because one of our own crossed the finish line. One of our own had fought the good fight, had run that race, and we pray is receiving that great crown that the Lord bestows upon those who follow him and who love him. Please remember Baba Catherine in your prayers. Yesterday, we also had the commemoration of Abba Sizois, who is one of the great venerable fathers of Egypt. And I want to share a little bit about Abba Sizois today. We might be familiar with his icon. He's shown standing over the tomb of Alexander the Great, contemplating death. That's actually what we did yesterday with the funeral of Baba Catherine. One of the great events actually in church life, to come for funerals and to remember where it is we're going, how transient and temporary this life is, how meaningless all of its successes and riches are, to contemplate where we're going, that age of incorruption, an age of eternal life. Abba Sizois was contemplating this as he stood above the tomb of Alexander the Great, who had conquered the world, right? He had everything, and yet he's bones and dust. To go to the life of Abba Sizois, we have to bring ourselves over to Egypt. And I've heard some great preachers speak about Egypt and how it was filled with these desert fathers. And they've explained it so beautifully, it almost feels like you're there. I can't do that for you. But what I'm going to try to do is something similar. Daryl, if you could turn off the AC, we'll open the windows and the doors. And I'm just eating. We would feel the heat, right? We'd feel the heat. They went out into these deserts. And they flocked there for something special. An experience of that kingdom even in this age. We heard in the gospel about how we should not be anxious for the things we're going to eat. The things we're going to put on, right? Isn't there so much more to life than these things? They went out, leaving all of this behind, and went out and lived in the desert so they could pursue the one thing needful, the kingdom of God. If you will, we had the gold rush in America, right? Everybody went west in search of gold. Well, they went to these deserts in search of real gold, not fool's gold. That's what everybody went west for. That gold is in it. Of eternal value. They went for the gold, for the riches that last. And whole cities arose in these deserts. First it was thousands, then tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of monastics in Scetis, Nitria, and the other areas there. They went out there where there's nothing so they could find the one who has everything, God himself. Abba Sizois was one of these, and he's called the Great. I'm going to share with you some of his teachings from the Sayings of the Desert Fathers. Excellent collection of writings. If you haven't read them, do so. So one instance, and this speaks to us about vengeance, a brother whom another brother had wronged came to see Abba Sizois and said to him, "My brother has hurt me, and I want to avenge myself." The old man pleaded with him, saying, "No, my child, leave vengeance to God." He said to him, "I shall not rest until I have avenged myself." The old man said, this is Abba Sizois, "Brother, let us pray." Then the old man stood up and said, "God, we no longer need you to care for us, since we do justice for ourselves." Hearing these words, the other brother fell at the old man's feet, saying, "I will no longer seek justice from my brother. Forgive me, Abba, the Father." Another time brothers came to him and they said, if someone falls into serious sin, how long do they need to repent over it? A year? 6 months? 40 days? He said, no, he does not need to do penance for but just a few days. I trust in God that if such a man does penance with his whole heart, God will receive him even in 3 days. If anyone has received penance for more than 3 days, you might say, well, why? This is what he says, only 3 days. Did you hear that he said, with his whole heart? With his whole heart. That is the great difficulty of doing our repentance, making our penance. We have to do it with our whole heart. He was a man of great wisdom, and he also was a man of great wonder working. There was one instance where a man was traveling out to see Abba Sizuis, and he was going with his son, who was presumably sick. And on the journey, the son dies. Now the plan was, since this man knew of the humility of Abba Sizuis, that he was just going to bring his son who was sick, and they were going to prostrate. And when Abba Sizuis would give a blessing, he would be healed. He wouldn't even ask him to heal him. So now what to do? That the son is dying. The man says to himself, I'm just going to follow the plan. So he brings his son. He lays him prostrate in the room where the elder would meet people. And the elder comes in, and he gives a blessing. Then the father gets up and leaves. But the son is still there and prostrated on the ground. The father goes outside. And Abba Sizuis says, son, get up. Your father just went outside. Go be with him. And he gets up. And he arises from the dead. And Abba Sizuis had this great power in his words to even raise the dead unintentionally. Imagine that. These great wonder workers, these great saints. But he was so humble that he said, if you want to do something great in the spiritual life, you must consider yourself inferior to everyone in everything. And this is something that he sought to acquire for himself. Self-knowledge. Knowledge of one's own weaknesses and shortcomings. In another instance, brothers came to him and he said, you know, Father, on Saturdays and Sundays after the liturgy, when all of the monks gather together, we have an agape meal. Think coffee hour. Should we go to the coffee hour? He says, yes, absolutely, you should go to the coffee hour. He says, well, you know, they have wine there. Should we drink the wine? He says, yes, you can drink the wine. But he says, only 2 cups. The third one is from the devil. Only have 2 cups. And of course, there's a lesson there. And it's not to get bigger glasses of wine. The lesson there is to be temperate, but also to receive God's gifts. This is another interesting thing. Abba Sizuis had this practice of fasting that was very severe, very strict. And he had a disciple who was like a cell attendant. He would help with the guests and things like that. And his disciple, Abraham, was responsible for making sure that Abba Sizuis would eat. So he would come to him sometime and say, you know, Abba Sizuis, it's time to eat. And he would say, Abraham, didn't we just eat? And he would be like, no, Father, it's been days. You know, it's time to eat. And just remarkable. I want to share something from my own family about this. We have something of a practice like this too. My wife prepares a great meal, and the children and I eat well. Then in an hour, they come and they say, we're hungry. And I say, didn't we just eat? And a little bit different, of course. So Abba Sizuis was this man of great holiness. He was a man that people sought. But he was a man who knew himself. And he knew himself in humility. It said of his repose that when it was time for him to pass, everyone gathered together. They, in the desert, they love funerals too. Because again, it's that great send-off. They would all gather. And when they gathered for Abba Sizuis, this man of such holiness and wisdom, wonder-working. They gathered around him as he was lying there dying, and his face began to shine. He said, "Father, what's happening?" He says, "Well, I see Abba Anthony the Great, who he followed in those monastic ways. I see him coming. I see the prophets coming. I see the apostles coming." And as time passes, his face is getting brighter and brighter. And then finally he says, "I see the angels coming." And he begins to have something of a conversation with them. And all the brothers are watching this happen. And he's pleading with these angels to give him more time to repent, not to take him yet. And the brothers say, "Father, you've been repenting your whole life. You've been in this desert for 72 years. What else have you been doing but repenting?" And he says to them, "Brothers, I tell you truly, I have not even begun to repent. I haven't even made a beginning." This was the humility that he had. He didn't look to his past. He looked to himself and to his future and knew his need for repentance. If only we could pass away like Abba Sisuis. Father Catherine had a blessed end too. But I want to tell you about another monk. This is from a different story. He didn't pass away so well. There was an instance where a priest was coming to visit this elderly monk, a very venerable man who tried to live in holiness. And the priest was coming to bring him Holy Communion. And on his way, there was a thief who saw the priest traveling and had some, let's say, less than charitable motives, began to follow. And they arrived then at the bedside of this venerable monk, and the thief saw him receive Holy Communion. The thief saw the great peace that he had, and he thought to himself, "What's going to happen to me when I die?" And at that moment, he decided he was going to repent. And he asked the Venerable Father, "What must I do so that I might repent?" And then the monk began to fall. He said in pride, "Well, if you live like I've lived, you'll have an end like I'm having." Now that elder died. And it so happened in God's providence, on that very same day, the thief went out, and he died as well. In that town, there was a fool for Christ who came as these two men were being carried to burial. And the fool for Christ, as we know, was one who had inner knowledge of things. He was gifted by the grace of God to see things as they truly are, not as we think they are. He could identify real gold instead of fool's gold. And he wept over this venerable father, and he rejoiced over the death of this thief. And everyone was like, "You got that wrong, right? One was a thief and one was a holy man." And the fool for Christ said, "I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, but through pride, this venerable father lost everything that he had been working for. And through humility and repentance, this thief gained the kingdom." Reminds me of the words of Abba Sisuis, who says, "When you fall, get up. When you fall again, get up again. Keep getting up, because God will judge us in the state that he finds us." And the state that we want God to find us is one of repentance, right? Humility. This is what we desire in the Christian life to cultivate. A sense of our lowliness and God's great glory, a sense of our infirmities and our weakness, our mortality, so that we can turn to him who is our health, who is our life, who is everything for us. Brothers and sisters, Abba Sisuis, all of those monastic fathers, Father Catherine, they all passed away. And maybe a public service announcement, we all will too. We have to be preparing for meeting our Maker. And we want to be those who meet him in humility and repentance. And sisters, God has so much that he wants to give to us. Let us have that disposition so that we can receive it, and so that we don't lose all that he is already bestowing upon us through pride. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.